This is the weekend that we celebrate the national holiday of our birthday, right? It's the 4th of July. You got to say it that way. You can't just say 4th of July. You got to say, I always say 4th of July. Yeah, that's the way you got to say it, right? It's that's the way I've always said it. Because it's special, I guess. Well, with that, I wanted to read a little something from the Declaration of Independence this morning, if you could, because our forefathers, you know, understood something from the Lord, and this is the way they wanted our nation to be started and understood. So I wanted to read that for you, just a piece of it. And it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Isn't that an amazing statement? Especially when we know that our nation started with some level of slavery in many of the states. They came out and said very specifically that all men are created equal, putting a big bullseye on a problem that we had in our nation. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, we know that only through Christ we can have life, we have liberty, and He gives us joy, right? We sang about joy today, didn't we? And it's so interesting that they didn't say one of our rights is happiness, because no man can give the right of happiness to another, because in a sense, happiness or joy is self-directed. So what it is the right to pursue happiness. So guess what? I wanted to talk about happiness and joy today. Are you ready? You know, we've been having a lot of messages lately about the armor, how we need to stand up. We've been having a lot of messages lately about how God is preparing us for what He's doing. We've had a lot of messages about the process of which we're changing. Because we are righteous on the one hand, and yet we're becoming righteous as we live our life and we change to be more like Christ. And in that process, it can be work. It can be a challenge. It can be even depressing at times, wondering if we are changing. Wonder if we're ever going to get over that problem that we're struggling with, wondering if the phone will stop ringing. No. Wondering about the sickness that we're struggling with and how are we going to deal with getting old, right? You know, I mean, just the process of getting old can be depressing, right? You know, I can't do what I used to do. I've been working on this gazebo, as you know, And it took me a whole day to put up some shingles on a roof that would have taken me, I'm not exaggerating, would have taken me 2 hours when I was younger. And it took me all day. And after the day, I had to recover for a day after. What I did for that day, that would have taken me 2 hours and I would have walked away. You know, so our bodies are becoming a place of limitation. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about joy and happiness. And with that, I don't want to separate the two in a teaching where we know that joy is different than happiness. You know, joy is something that's more of a spiritual process that's within us, and happiness may be more external. You know, we understand that, and I didn't really want to talk about that. So I wanted maybe just in your mind lump the two together and just think of happiness and joy, you know, together. And the first thing that most people, I even heard Paul quote it today. He quoted a scripture about joy, and it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Does anybody know? Don't tell me, but anybody know where that scripture is? Yeah, okay, we got one. Yeah, it's in Nehemiah. Yeah, and you know, it's the only time, it's the only place in the Bible that that scripture is stated that way, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you know what the context of that is? All right, well, Bob knows. All right, we'll let Bob up here. He'll share it with us. Well, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 if you want. And this scripture is interesting because it brings up a point that I wanted to share with us. You know, do you know, in my mind, that the happiest people around us, who they are, who would you say are the happiest people that you've ever seen? Children. Yeah, yeah. And I think there's a reason why they're the happiest children, the happiest people around us. It's because they're not worried about the past. They're not worried about the future or thinking about the future, but they're living in the present. You see, they live in the present, so they wake up in the morning and say, what are we going to do today? You know, and they just go, you know, and they find something to do. They see a toy on the floor and they run right over to it. They see another one over here, they'll run over to that one. And they'll just enjoy everything they see. Now, they may get in a spat with their brother and sister fighting over that toy, right? So there's some problems that children have. It's called selfishness, right? But within the moment that they're enjoying that toy, they're really happy. You give them some food to eat and they stuff it in their mouth and they just enjoy it so much, and when they're done, they run out the door and they're ready to have some more fun, right? Well, so let's take a look at this. In Nehemiah chapter 8, it's really, in some ways, the culmination of what has been going on. For almost two generations, the people of God, it has been set back to the Holy Land, and at first it took a lot of effort, and they built the foundation of the temple, and then they built the temple, and then the temple was built, but the walls were down, and then Ezra came and began to teach them about, he was a priest and a scribe, he began to teach them about the Word of God, and they were starting to learn that along with a bunch of other priests that you will see listed here. And then Nehemiah showed up to help him build the wall, and some of the wall was finally getting constructed, and then chapter 8 comes. And they built a platform in the middle of the square. And Nehemiah climbs up on the platform and he begins to read the Old Testament, the books of the law. And the people start to, they all stand up to listen to the Word of God, and then they begin to weep. I would have maybe said, oh, God's having a revival here, you know, let's keep reading. You know, but they stopped them. You can see that in verse 9 and verse 10. They stopped them because they said, this day is holy unto the Lord. Stop weeping. And then they said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, there was a time maybe to weep and to fast and to do that, but we also need the strength from the Lord that comes through joy and happiness. And so he put them off from worrying about all the sins of their past and all the sins that they needed to deal with, and put that away and said, have a time of a feast. And they read to them the next day. They sent them away that day and told them to eat and drink the fat and the sweet, and the next day they got together with just the men, and they read the part about the about the the celebration of the booths. And so they all grown up into the mountains and got the what they needed to build their little booths, and they celebrated for those 7 days. So now we are a couple weeks later. You can see in verse 9 that they gathered for fasting and prayer. But now they had a time to rejoice and lay aside the things of the past. See, they had some issues that they needed to deal with. But for the two generations they've been back, some of the men had married women from other nations, and even some of their children didn't even know their language because they grew up in the culture of the people that were there, and that needed to get dealt with. But they first needed to connect with their Lord, and they first needed to connect with a time of celebration with their Lord and to have joy in their life so that they could go on and do some things that were maybe going to be difficult. See, we also live in a nation that has sins in its past. And the world around us tells us that we need to be sorrowful about it, but not sorrowful as the Lord says in 2 Corinthians 7:10. It says, a godly sorrow produces repentance and leads to salvation, but the sorrow of the world leads to death. See, the world around us, even in our nation, tells us that we need to be sorrowful for our past, for even the issue of slavery, and the sorrow they want us to lead us into is forever. And it leads to death instead of repentance. I know Donnie spoke a little bit about this last week, where you know, we need to have sorrow and repentance on this issue so that our hearts can be changed and we can have compassion for all of those around us that are struggling with this issue. But we need to not have sorrow that forever that just leads to death on any issue. We also have many people here, or some people here, that have issues in their past that they cannot get over, even though Christ has come and died on the cross for all of our sins. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says that he endured for the joy set before him. He endured the cross and despised its shame. See, many of us have had sins and things that happened in our past, and it has caused shame in our life. And unless we give over that shame to the cross and can be set free from it, so the sorrow that leads to repentance has happened, then we can let it aside and be free from those things, that the past does not now control us. Because if they do control you, then you will never be happy. You will never have the joy of the Lord because you're living in the past, trying to put yourself under that sorrow that leads to death. These are important things for us all to really understand, because it may be even issues of loved ones that have passed away in our life that we're never able to give over to the Lord, that we can be set free from that sorrow, that we can be joyful again. Because when we live in the Lord, even death is not death to us. the Bible talks about death of a believer as falling asleep, because we know that will be when someone passes, they just pass and are with the Lord. This world has a lot of sorrow, and it's leading them to death. But in Christ, that sorrow leads to repentance if we humble ourselves and allow Christ to take that over in our life, that we can be set free from that sorrow, even the sorrow of our own mistakes and sins and shortcomings and problems. Well, there's a second part. It's the future can be a problem for our happiness or joy. And what is that? But we worry. What did Jesus tell us about that? In Matthew, Jesus tells us very specifically, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. There's a truth there, isn't there? Every day we wake up, there's things that could be happening that we don't know what's going on, and that's still, when we wake up that day, it's still tomorrow, because we don't know what's going to happen this day either. And the Bible tells us not to worry, or Jesus tells us not to worry about anything, even about what we're going to eat or drink. And most of us have that together. We got cupboards full of food. We got money in our pockets to go buy more. So what are we worrying about? Not the food or clothing. Most of us are set with that. In the United States, we're worrying about other things. Things that we cannot control. Our health. Worrying about our family. You know, when I start to worry, I find myself getting in a place where I'm not happy. And I find myself even getting depressed. That anxiousness takes over. And I realize that, where's my faith in God? And so I realized that my lack of faith fits with worry really well. And if I'm worrying, I'm really not having faith. And it says, without faith, how can I please God? Well, what you start to realize is that God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have happiness. And so he's trying to counsel us to do not worry, but to trust and have faith in him. And if we can do that, then all the issues of life just kind of fall into place, and we wake up every day and realize God's is in control because we have faith in him. And we realize that everything is open to us. The heaven is open. And it says that the riches of glory is ours. See, that door, I guess, is open to us. In Proverbs chapter 12, 25, it says, anxiousness in the heart of man causes depression. And then it says, let me look that up, because there's a second part I didn't write down for myself. So look it up for me here and read it for me. Chapter 12, 25. But a good word makes it glad. or brings gladness. Right? So, if you're anxious, then what you need to turn away from that anxious and realize that you have a good word. What's your good word today? Well, you could look it up in the Bible, or you could realize that anything that Jesus has told us is a good word to us, right? And we need to start to express those good words and bring gladness to one another. Yep. So, you know, when Jesus got in the boat with his disciples and a storm came up, they all panicked, right? And he turns to them in Luke chapter 8, 26, and he says, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. You see, fear and worry shows our lack of faith. And so we need to realize if you're becoming fearful or becoming worrisome, then you need to realize that you just lost some faith, and you need to turn back to God and say, I need more faith. You know, let me understand the truth of the Lord, right? So there are the two things. We need to live in the present, not be looking to the past and let it rule us in a way that is sorrowful to us, that is controlling us, and or looking to the future and having worry or fear. But in Proverbs 17 it says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries out the bones. You see, a broken spirit comes from disappointment, or it comes from discouragement from the past. And you know that, well, we know medically that there's life in our bones. And if they become dry, then the whole process of how our body function has a lot of issues. Our body functions cannot happen unless the marrow in our bone is fully operating the way it should. And so it says with this that a broken spirit, or what's inside us, just like the marrow in the bone, if it dries up, it's like death to the body and it's death to our soul. But a merry heart is like a medicine. Did you take your medicine today? What a wonderful thing it is that we can be merry, or we can be happy, or we can be filled with joy because we know the Lord. And we know the future. It may not be our future, but we know the future. See, I don't know what God is going to give me for my future. But I'm excited about it because I know He's a good God, and no matter how much maybe I suffer, it's for His purpose because I belong to Him. So with that is a glorious future. It doesn't matter what skin disease I have or what other issues I have going on in my life. I know my life I gave to Christ. I have a car, and that car I've given to God. And the other week I was at my daughter's Carrie's house, and I was upstairs, and the kids were on the front porch, and they were just sitting there, and the side window just blew out. So, you know, I came down and we looked at it. We couldn't figure out how it happened. And so, you know, I said to the kids, well, maybe God's got a new window for me. And sure enough, he gave me a new window. And I have a new window now in my car, well, or in his car. You see, it's the point is that it's not my worry. I had to do the work to put it in, but, you know, that was joyful. I enjoyed doing that, actually. It was a new challenge, you know, to figure out how to take it apart and put it to get back together again. And it was a blessing. You know, God blessed me with a new window. And that's the way, you know, life is. When if things go wrong in the natural, you know, there must be some reason that God is allowing me to experience this part of my life. And so I don't need to worry about what's going on in my life. And I can just live my life to the fullest and enjoy each moment. Are you enjoying your life?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Very good. See, and that statement is not based on, oh, I get to go on vacation next week, right? It's not based on what I'm going to do fun next. See, in the Lord, we need to live our lives not as a vacation or looking for a vacation, because each day is unto the Lord. If I'm doing my job or I'm, quote, on vacation, I'm still before the Lord. I'm still living it to the Lord. So this brings me back to two more points. The first one is in Colossians 5:18, and it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the Lord's. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You see, that one of the keys for happiness and joy is to have a thankful heart. God looks for that. God understands if we have a thankful heart that we're in a good place. Do you know one of the biggest problems he had with the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt was their grumbling and complaining? And he was thinking, look what I just did for these guys. Brought them through the Red Sea. I gave them water out of a rock. You know, they ought to be happy. They ought to be thankful. But they were grumbling and complaining. See, you can almost measure your spiritual thermometer by understanding what's in your heart as far as thankfulness. And if you're not thankful, then I would say your spiritual thermometer is a little bit low. And you need to, you know, go back to the good book and begin to read and understand what you should be thankful for. But I want to end with this. And it's actually one of my favorite verses. It's in Psalm 16. And it's verse 11. And I'm going to only read part of it. And it says, "In your presence is the fullness of joy." And then it goes on and talks about, you know, pleasures evermore. But if you truly want to be happy and have joy, the only place to truly find it is not with the most expensive vacation or the nicest vacation house or going to Disneyland or World or whatever. It's not any of those bucket lists that you may have or may not have. It's the presence of the Lord. I don't know. I hear a little bit that maybe you guys have experienced it, but I've experienced being in God's presence is a place of peace, a place of joy, and it's something that I wish everybody could experience. I know everybody doesn't, because one, they don't know the Lord, or two, they are so tied up in themselves that they cannot enter into the presence of God. But being in the presence of God is an amazing, beautiful experience. And it's more than an experience because, well, the Proverbs tells us that there's a friend that's closer than a brother. And I know that's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And because of that, I can be in the presence of the Lord 24/7. But I can't say I'm experiencing that. But, you know, I can be. And part of the reason that I'm not experiencing that is based on a lot of things that I just shared today, is how I dealt with my past and how I'm dealing with my future. And so I just want to encourage all of us today, as we are going through the struggles of life, as we're going through the ways that God is teaching us, going through the process of growing up as a church and as individuals, that not to lose heart, but to remember to stay in the presence of the Lord. And as we do this, we'll have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we'll have the enduring power then to go through whatever is in front of us. And I know some of you guys have some awful things. It makes me weep that you're going through. And there's only so much that another brother or sister can bring comfort to you because of what you're going through. But the Lord, you can be in the presence of the Lord in the middle of these circumstances and have the joy of the Lord in the middle of prison or whatever you're going through. So I want you to leave today with more strength, that you could continue with what God is doing with us, that we could continue to walk together as brothers and sisters and not be discouraged even with the problems between us. Because as humans, there's always problems between us. We all have our issues of life. We all have our attitudes that pop out and maybe make somebody a little upset, right? And yet, we know and we can encourage one another to continue to be in the presence of the Lord and enjoy the presence of the Lord individually and together. And as we do that, then that joy will stay with us, and that we're able to laugh off or deal with whatever is in front of us and enjoy life. My grandmother, when she was 90 plus years old. I loved to go talk with her because she was a woman who was just enjoying her life. She sat in her chair most of the day and read books and prayed, but she was a wonderful woman of God, and she just was enjoying her life, as limited as it was, because she knew the Lord, because she was in His presence. And so it has nothing to do with how old you are or how limited you are. It's where you are in your spirit. I've met some other old people that were rather miserable, and they were always complaining and never were happy. And it was tough being with those old people. And so I realized that getting old, or being the grumpy old man or grumpy old lady that some people talk about, you know, is out there. But my grandmother showed me that, and my mother as well showed me that's not the way life has to be, even when we get old and become very limited. I would have been happy to be able to do those shingles in 2 hours and be done with it. And I still have more to go. But it took me all day, and I have to deal with my limitations. So I'm happy that I was able to do it myself. And I'm able to do what I'm able to do. But this body is slowing down, and I'm getting older. And I get sore more often, and my ankle doesn't work, and I have problems with this or that. But that does not dictate my joy. So don't let your limitations dictate yours, because it's the presence of the Lord that brings joy. Amen? Okay. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us today, even in the worship and in the prophetic words about this subject. I pray, Lord, that we would have the strength to continue and endure to the end. That's what you asked us to do, is to endure. You even use that word, to endure. And we know that the only way to endure to the end is in your presence, in your joy. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to make this message real in our heart, Lord, that we could be full of all that you have for us, and we would be able to accomplish your purposes, in Jesus' name. Amen.